you going to stand up for what you believe, or are you going to compromise that to win Miss USA?
The president is somebody who prays each and every day, whether it's National Prayer Day or not.
Protect the dignity of every human person, the sanctity of human life from the tiny baby in the womb.
Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I will never be the same. God bless you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, I think I just missed it. I mean, being of a generation kind of stuck between the baby boomers and whatever came after the baby boomers, I think I just missed it in terms of my experience in the classroom. While education was less than it could be during the 60s, the 70s, and the very early 80s, I'm talking about elementary school and high school and things like that, there wasn't this push to constantly stroke the ego of the fragile student, to convince the student that regardless of what kind of grades they got, they really were doing great. Regardless of whether or not they performed, they really were the best that they could be. I think I missed that. But there's no doubt about it. The generations that followed are convinced that they are the best, even when they aren't, even when they know better. They don't know how else to think about themselves than the best there is. We've given them self-esteem. Is it healthy self-esteem? We're going to talk about the me-first culture, narcissism, and American culture with Colleen Carroll Campbell here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It is the 7th of May. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell, we'll discuss things we see in church. If you walk into some churches, there you see nothing you can't explain. It's all very familiar. It looks like a movie theater or a theater. But if you walk into historic churches, there are a lot of things there that you don't see any place else. Altars and pulpits and baptismal fonts and banners and crucifixes and crosses and vestments and paraments and stained glass, to only mention a few things. We'll be explaining some of those things with Pastor Will Whedon coming up in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
How do you explain the fact that a recently surveyed a large number of high school students admit to having cheated on a test, 64% of them in the last year, 38% more than once in school, and yet they give themselves high marks on honesty and ethics?
Yes, and those marks were quite high. It was more than 9 in 10 said they were satisfied with their own ethics, and nearly 8 in 10 said that when it comes to doing what's right, I'm better than most people I know, which is interesting. You know, I think there are a number of explanations. We can certainly blame some of the pervasive moral relativism on the cheating epidemic and the fact that they see high-profile cheats getting rewarded, often whether it's in corporate life or politicians or whatever. But one interesting explanation that I think gets to the heart of the problem has been proposed recently by a group of research psychologists, Gene Twenge and W. Keith Campbell. They wrote a new book called The Narcissism Epidemic, and they pulled together some very interesting data showing that young Americans today are more narcissistic than ever before, significantly more so than their elders, and that American culture in general is getting more narcissistic. And this is a trend I've certainly followed and noticed in recent years. And I think a lot of it sprouts from what you mentioned in your intro, which is the self-esteem movement that was really at its heyday when these young adults were growing up.
Well, now, Colleen, I know you're a bit younger than I am, and I think you probably got hit by some of this when you were in grade school, junior high, and high school. Were you?
Yes, we were constantly told that we were special, we were the best. You know, put yourself first, love yourself first. Now, I probably got a little less of this because I went to Catholic schools where you were told you're supposed to love God first and others, and then you come third. So that was a good message to hear. And And of course, you know, a lot of this can be counteracted at home as well, which is good, and I was grateful for what my parents could do to counteract those messages. But still, even in religious schools, there was this emphasis always on self-esteem, and what had come to be known kind of derisively as the YMCA motto of children's activities, which is everybody wins and nobody loses. This sense, whether it's in sports, extracurricular activities, or grades, and we've seen plenty of grade inflation. How many kids do you know who have 4.5, 4.7, 4.9? I mean, there used to be a time you couldn't get higher than 4.0. But all of this is designed to help a child feel that he or she is not failing whatsoever, and that if you just, you know, give it a shot, even if you maybe don't work all that hard, then you deserve to win. And there shouldn't be any gradations of better or worse in terms of outcomes. And I think the worst example I've seen of this is when I was working for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and covering some of the public schools where this was reinforced to children who unfortunately were not learning the basics, and yet they were constantly being told that they were brilliant and that they knew everything they needed to know. And rather than encouraging them to learn more, I thought sometimes this seemed to actually encourage them to think that it doesn't really matter if I do my homework or learn what I need to know because I'm already great.
In classic Greek mythology, from whence we derive this term narcissism, narcissism was a curse. That poor individual ended up a flower by the riverside, forever bent upon its own reflection.
That's exactly right. And I think we have seen some signs of the fallout of this in American culture. I mean, we see plenty of signs of where we see increased vanity. We can certainly see that in the fivefold increase in plastic surgery and cosmetic procedures performed just in the past decade. But also this greedy overconfidence that drove our mortgage meltdown, that's another example. And I think a lot of the technological breakthroughs, which have been good, for instance, ways for people to connect on the internet, also sometimes exacerbate these tendencies in ourselves. For instance, to be posting our every trivial thought on Twitter or on blogs where maybe other people don't need to know exactly which burrito you ordered at Taco Bell, as one of our Missouri senators recently was tweeting about on her posting. So I think in addition to all of those more annoying fallouts of this narcissism epidemic, we see deeper troubles like relationship problems and our 50% divorce rate, which a lot of that is related to the fact that we have come to believe, and this is Americans of all ages, that what matters most is my immediate happiness. And if I have to trample on others or cut short a commitment that I had made that was supposed to be lifelong, if that's what makes me feel fulfilled at this moment, that's what I've got to do. And you've got the whole culture telling people that it's all about you. So it makes it very difficult, I think, too, for Christianity to get a foothold in the hearts of many Americans, because genuine Christianity, of course, tells us it's not all about you. And that's a message, unfortunately, we don't hear enough in our churches today.
What concerns me is that life's school of hard knocks will sooner or later teach better than you're the best, you're special, regardless of whether or not you actually perform to that level or regardless of whether or not you merit that kind of adulation. And I worry about a generation of adults that are trying to come down off the self-esteem high, what they may engage in.
Well, I think that's right. And I think the cheating epidemic is just one glimpse of how this can turn out. If you're taught that, hey, if I show up to class and I even bother to complete the test, I ought to get an A just for being there. And there have actually been studies shown that today's college students, a pretty high number of them actually think if they just go to every lecture, they deserve at least a B. I mean, when you have that sense of entitlement and then you get out in the real world that doesn't honor that sense of entitlement, it can be very perplexing, and I think it can be even shattering for some young adults, and I think it can lead to more rule-breaking, which we do see a correlation between corrosive narcissism, as authors of The Narcissism Epidemic put it, and a lot of rule-breaking, but it can also be shattered marriages and shattered families and people who live a lot of their lives feeling that they somehow got cheated out of the easy street that they were supposed to be on, and In reality, of course, that was never guaranteed to them in the first place, but they've been told differently for so many years, they simply don't know what reality is sometimes. So I think it is sad, and I think going forward, we need to think about how we're going to change the way we talk to children who are in school today and how we encourage our kids to do their best, but to not place all of their self-confidence and their hopes in the future, not to predicate all of that on the understanding that they will always be the best at everything they try their hand at, because that's just simply not realistic.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, all our best.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Will Wheaton. When you walk into many churches today, looks very familiar. Looks like auditorium, movie theater, perhaps a regular old theater where they might put on plays or musicals. Very familiar. Nothing unique to the church in there at all. But if you walk into a church that adheres to an historic form of worship, perhaps even an ancient form of worship, you're going to find some things there on Sunday morning that are not familiar in the world around you. You're going to find things like an altar, a baptismal font, a pulpit, men dressed in strange robes, strange gestures. We'll explain some of that after this. Narcissism is a curse. Serving our neighbor, putting him first. That's really the root of healthy self-esteem, regarding your neighbor better than yourself. We'll be right back.